Hi, this is Olivier, and you're watching the Internet of Things show. And today we have Andrew with us, and Andrew came here on the show to talk about time series insight.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew, how are you?
Hey, Olivier, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you for the first time, not the last one, I guess.
I would hope so.
I hope. So what are you doing in the team, Andrew?
Yeah, so I'm a program manager on Time Series Insights. So I sit on the PM team, and I work across a whole bunch of things, but that involves working with our devs, working with other engineering groups, and then our customers.
And so you're focused on Time Series Insights.
Yes.
Right? So let's talk about Time Series Insights in the context of Internet of Things, right? And how does TSI actually, we'll call that TSI,
yeah,
as long as you, helps out developers and IoT solutions in general, right?
Yeah, so that's a great question. You know, the first thing I think of with Time Series Insights is we built the product just for time series data. And time series data is really, really critical in IoT because as IoT devices produce telemetry, mm-hmm, you want to start to understand the behavior of a device over time.
Okay.
And so the types of the demands that that kind of data puts on a solution can actually be quite taxing. And so what we did was we thought about how can we create a service that makes it really easy to, once data has been sent to Azure IoT Hub or to a cloud solution, how can we grab that data? How can we enrich it with contextual data, what we call reference data? How can we index it in a way that's gonna make it really easy to retrieve? And how can we store it in something that's high performance, SSD and memory, so that when you wanna understand your data, when you wanna do an investigation, you can do it really, really fast.
Okay, and very fast, a lot of data, right?
Over tons of data.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome. So actually, there's a few questions I have, but I think it came as a demo. I think what better than a demo to show us what Time Series Insight does, right? And
yeah,
I'm gonna bug you with questions here and there.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, what I wanted to do today was I wanted to show our audience how easy it is to get started.
Okay.
I wanted to show if you don't have data or maybe you haven't thought about how you're going to bring it to the cloud, mm-hmm, I wanted to show how you could easily simulate data and then add devices.
What?
I want to show you some of the new things we've done with Time Series Insights, both in the Explorer, which is our, mm-hmm, visualization, as well as for developers to be able to kind of bring the power of TSI into their own application.
Cool agenda.
Yeah.
Let's get going.
Yeah, perfect. So this is the Azure portal. I'm sure most folks know this. You know, if you're looking for Time Series Insights, we're under the IoT blade, under Time Series Insights.
Okay.
It's really simple. I'm not gonna go through this, but if I wanted to, I could just, create an environment, add a name, use a subscription from, mm-hmm, Azure that I've got.
Okay.
I would decide where I want to host it, how, mm-hmm, big I want it to be, and within how big I want it to be, I can choose units. And so these sort of make it easier for me to ingress data as well as to grow how much I can store.
And you can do that dynamically, right?
So. Absolutely. You can do this. Everything I'm doing within the portal, you can do programmatically using Azure Resource Manager as well, which is great for developers.
Got it. So like sneaky question. So we are charging people based on these units, right? So
yeah,
the more units you enable, the more you're paying. But if you need less, you're going to reduce the number of units and pay for what you're using, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, one common thing that we talk to our customers about is how when you're first getting started, if you're going to push a lot of data at first, mm-hmm, sometimes it's good to increase the number of units, which, mm-hmm, allows throughput to be just a little bit faster.
Okay.
And then as soon as you've kind of gotten through that spike, you, uh-huh, can just lower it to whatever the capacity,
okay,
you need is.
All right, that works.
So what I'm going to do, I actually created this environment last night. It's a larger environment. And what I've done is I've gone to AzureIoTSuite.com and I've,
okay,
provisioned a device simulation. So this,
okay,
is a,
yep,
pre-configured solution. I've got 400 devices. These are chillers.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've done is within my Time Series Insights environment, I have, I've gone to the event source blade. I've added the IoT hub associated with this device simulation.
Okay, as an input to your Time Series Insights instance.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the really cool thing about this is that Time Series Insights is seamlessly integrated with IoT hub and event hub. So as soon as I designate that IoT hub,
okay,
as an event source, TSI is going to start grabbing each message as it comes in. It's going to start doing that enrichment with metadata, which I'll show you here in a minute,
okay,
and then indexing and storing it. And then within about 30 seconds, it's available to be queried and visualized.
Got it. So you have this pool of 30 seconds that you have to wait for, right?
That's okay. So we consider it near real time. It's really, really fast, but about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So couple of quick things. One is when you're in the Azure portal, if you want to go in to the environment itself, you want to go to the Time Series Insights Explorer.
Yeah.
We always expose a link right here, which is the Time Series Insights Explorer URL.
Okay.
If I click that, I'm dropped into the Explorer itself, right into that environment, which I'll show you here in just a second. So I'm in that exact environment. Now I've gone ahead and created a saved query, which you can always find up here. This is a really fast way for you to save your work and share your work with others.
Okay.
But what you'll notice is that there's a couple of cool things I want to point out. One is that the split by, which are effectively when we think of the data itself and the way we store it in rows and columns within the underlying columnar store, we can inject reference data into that. And so what I've done to contextualize this for me and to make this data more meaningful is I've added a few columns that I can then aggregate and filter my data by. So in this case, one of the things that I've done is I've added a column for each device ID that's the location of where that device is actually
living.
And so I have, in this case, I've got factories all over California. I've got Los Angeles, San Francisco, Sacramento. I know it's probably not the cheapest place to host them, but it's a good place. I've even got a factory in Napa, which is just, you know, personal preference. And so what I'm able to do is I'm able to do some really powerful things around comparing this data and investigating it. But I'm going to assume people know how Time Series Insights works. So the key thing I want to show you today is a new tool that we've developed to make it really easy to author and manage, think CRUD operations, reference data. Okay. So today, before today, and going forward, you could always build a C# app to programmatically manage reference data.
Okay.
Within TSI documentation, we've got a page that tells you how to do this using a C# app. For a lot of developers, this works great.
Okay.
However, for some users, they may not necessarily want to do it programmatically, and they might want to update it on the fly.
Okay.
And so within the Time Series Insights environment, what you'll notice is this new button off to the right, which allows users that are designated as a contributor, that's kind of like the super user, to go into a new experience that we've just added today.
Okay.
And so this experience allows me to go and add up to two reference data sets.
Okay.
I've already dropped one in, so I'm gonna have a look at it.
Uh-huh.
And what you'll see is that I've designated a key, that key being each of the GUIDs or the device IDs. For some of our users, they might think of these as tags or assets. And what I've done is I've added a bunch of columns in an Excel spreadsheet that have things like manufacturer. They have factory, like I mentioned. They've got the station, the line, the operator, and the last service date.
You've got the metadata for each of these devices. Right?
Exactly. Okay. And so this helps me understand it. And so what this tool does is it allows me to go in, and for any one of these devices, I can come in, I can update it, I can clear it, I can edit it. I can do bulk updates, and I can even download it.
Okay.
So it's a really, really nice way to manage reference data. So if this particular chiller moved from San Francisco or Sacramento to San Francisco, I'd be able to update it in real time. And so, anyways, I can easily manage it this way. And then going back to the environment itself by clicking on the Analytics tab, this is where you'll notice that I can actually do some really, really cool things around looking at it. So in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump into the perspective view, and I'm going to do an investigation that I've already pre-populated for my San Francisco factory for pressure and temperature versus my Napa factory for pressure and temperature.
So you can start comparing data without having to dig yourself up, say, hey, device ID, blah, is there on a paper or whatnot. You can actually do direct in TSI portal like that.
Exactly. Okay. And that gives me the ability to look at different locations over the same time, over different times, compare assets in the same location, assets in different locations. And then if I notice something interesting, I'm able to very quickly start to go under the covers, explore these events, learn interesting statistics about the underlying data itself, and hopefully complete tasks like a root cause analysis or providing an engineer who's going to fix something with useful information about what tools they might need or what other things they might investigate.
Got it. Okay, cool.
So a couple other things. So we've added that reference data authoring tool, which I mentioned. And as soon as I publish there, that is effectively published to Azure Resource Manager.
Okay.
And then programmatically, any new event that matches the key will automatically have all of the reference data that I added indexed and stored with any future event.
Okay,
so it's really cool to just help me navigate my data, but it's not the only thing we've done recently, so I want to show you a couple other cool things.
You guys are working.
I know, like we've got a really, really amazing dev team that's working very hard. So so one thing that we're just really proud of is that we wanted to deliver an experience for users that was a great experience for users who have visual and fine motor skill impairments, as well as users who don't. And so, we effectively have added recently full narrator support across the entire product.
Okay.
And we've added a lot of tabular functions so that for a user that might need to tab through data, it's much easier for them to do that.
Nice.
And so, the thing you'll notice is that we've added this table button. And when I click on this, what I'm able to see is all of the search, the query I've already conducted, I'm able to see all of that data in a tabular format that I can easily tab through, that narrator can read me, so I can effectively have the same experiences with the chart, but for a user who might not be able to use the chart quite as easily.
Got it.
So we're excited about that, but one of the other cool things that we lit up through this was the ability for you to download a CSV file, which you can presumably use in something like Excel, to take advantage of your aggregated data in addition to just consuming it with Time Series Insights. So what I just did was I just downloaded all the aggregated data. It is downloaded in clean rows and columns. So I can go ahead and do other analytics that I might do in Excel that in a tool that I'm more used to using. So another thing that we're really, really excited about, easy to use Excel.
Would you actually also say they eventually can feed some other systems, let's say machine learning algorithms and models and things like that?
Absolutely. So let me say this.
Did I steal your thunder?
Not yet. Stand by for more updates there in the future. But we absolutely are listening to our users. We know they want to do things like use Power BI, use Azure Machine Learning Studio, even exhaust data to something like Azure Blob Storage. And so we're trying to figure out ways that we might be able to deliver on some of that. So stand by.
And people can provide feedback directly.
Absolutely. And we love feedback. We're absolutely listening to our customers day in and day out. So please keep that feedback coming. So what I want to do is I want to transition us to talk a little bit about what we're doing for developers.
Okay.
So the first thing that you'll see on my screen is a sample web app. And I'm going to make sure that, Olivia, you tell me how we do this, but I'm going to make sure that the URL here is published along with this video so that it's easy for people to find.
Yes.
It's tsiclientsample.azurewebsites.net.
Deal.
And what this will do, we're going to leave this up for anyone who has Microsoft credentials or, Azure credentials, they'll be able to log into this web app.
Okay.
And what we're doing is we're making this a living, breathing JavaScript control library for developers to be able to see different controls that they can pull directly from Time Series Insights and look at the source code when they explore the web page itself to be able to write that same code within their application. So we're trying to make it really, really easy for developers.
So kind of a F12 copy paste and boom, I have the same visualization in my own solution or application, a web app
exactly.
that uses the power of Time Series Insights and back.
That's absolutely right. And what we've done is in addition to just showcasing this, we've actually done a lot of work to build this library that reduces the amount of code down from about 120 lines for some of our charts to close to 10 or 12 when you've written a query. So as an example, in lines 202 through 220 in this particular case, what I'm looking at is these two charts.
Uh-huh.
And what's really, really rad about this is that within this same exact little block of code, what we've done is we've actually passed both a line chart and a bar chart. So you can have them in parallel. In this case, I've got objects that have been created that allow me to use a bar chart over time, where as I scroll across time, the bar chart is updating live. I've got grids, obviously, that tell me the type of data I'm looking at, okay. and I can update this to reflect different aggregations. And I've got the same data in the form of a line chart next to it. And so this is just one example, but we're going to continue to add different charts here. Okay. And so if a developer is interested in embedding TSI into their own app, this is a really great way for them to jump in, take that code, and start using TSI in an app either internally or for their customers.
You guys are definitely rocking it, because that's a lot of things
yeah.
that you're doing. And actually, I like this, the developer approach, and the fact you're giving them these pieces of code for them to just reproduce that also.
Yeah, well, we're excited. And we definitely, you know, we think of ourselves as both the explorer, which is a great way mm-hmm. For people like process engineers or yeah. asset managers to take advantage of the product, but we're also a platform, and we want to keep investing in tools that make it easy for developers.
That's awesome. Well, thanks. Do you have more for me?
I have one more. I have one last thing.
I like it's the end, but wait, there's more.
what I've got is, and we've got documentation that's published on this, but
okay.
What we've got is the ability to pass a custom view in the Time Series Insights Explorer using a URL. And so
okay.
what this enables me to do, and this is in our documentation, it's share a custom view, and I'll just copy and paste this to make it short and sweet. But if I paste in a custom view, which we explain how to do, it's uh-huh. optional parameters, you pass in a query like the timestamp and the environment information. But what it lets me do is it lets me deep link or embed a URL into an application I may have, so that a user who is interested in going beyond just the view I've shared with them
yeah.
and they want to start digging into the data, well, you can pass them this link where it drops them into Time Series Insights
okay.
and gives them the ability to explore. So right where okay. they would expect to be,
nice.
Making it easy to kind of create a hybrid environment between your app as well as the Explorer to kind of extend the value there.
I like that. That's awesome.
So those are the new updates, which we're really excited about.
Well, I hope you're going to come back again with even more. We will add the links
yeah.
on the description of the video. And looking forward to more. Thanks, Andrew.
Awesome. Thanks, Olivier.
Thanks guys.